the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
Hey, it's football time. Lot of some rain.
Welcome one and all, Thursday, November 10th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway.
Sometimes you just gotta find some filler words. Lot of some is...
Is that what you said?
That is.
I was just moving on because I couldn't distinguish the words.
Lot of some rain.
Yes.
Oh, so you were...
Yeah,
okay.
There's a lot of some.
Lots of some rain, which is different than little bit rain,
yes.
Which we do get from time to time.
It will not be a little bit rain tonight from what I
understand. This will be a lot of some of it.
Yeah.
This will be lots of some rain. Dr. Seuss on the other side, taking care of business. We have the fantasy forecast today.
The forecast is lots of some rain.
News and notes, never not working. Starts of the week in the Boom Boom Kicker. Jason, consecutive days with the pickleball t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, maybe I can't. I have pickleball.
Pickleball continues to ascend.
Oh, man, the haters are starting to form their groups, their councils.
They're the pickle haters?
Oh, yeah.
There's only one type of pickle hater.
Tennis players?
Tennis players. The rest love it.
Yeah.
No.
To be fair, there are tennis players who also love pickleball.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. They convert and then they make money on the pickleball
yeah.
side.
Mm-hmm. And they're way better than us.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's
fair.
True.
What do we got going on today? We have a lot going on today. We have injury updates. I already saw that Brandon Cooks decided to practice.
Oh.
The wrist is feeling better. So that's good, right?
That is good. Yeah. I
get back to disappointing your fantasy roster.
Talked on the party room last night that I think he's a decent trade for a target just because he's a borderline free pickup. I think you can scoop him up from managers for very little. He's done nothing. He hasn't been playing. He's had basically one good week on the season, but I still believe that he is a talented wide receiver who has a good target share and has brighter days ahead. I mean, you're picking up guys off of waivers that aren't nearly that good.
Yeah, I would have Brandon Cooks on my roster over Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballer. Subscribe, click that bell. Catch Mike on Sunday Live each and every week, helping you out right before the games kick off. Twitter at TheFFBallers. You can follow us over there. At Andy Holloway, at JasonFFL, at FFHitman. If you want to follow us individually.
We are very verified.
Verified plus.
It is our accounts.
Right.
At least for now.
Yeah, Mike has been following the world of Twitter, as we all have.
It's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens over there. JoinTheFoot.com is our fantasy football community. Let's move on.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
All right, well, this week we wanted to take a look at calling our shot on some touchdowns coming the way for players who haven't been scoring touchdowns. We just talked about Joe Mixon. That was your call, Andy. Prior to that, it was Alvin Kamara. It was these players that, look, they're getting the ball a lot. They are being productive. They're not scoring touchdowns. That's not common. I mean, we know Jacoby Myers, like, set the world record for not scoring touchdowns last year, but he's the outlier.
Cole Kmet was competing with him, trying to beat him.
There is a reason that, you know, the NFL averages exist, because it's just what happens on average. So these players are going to return to the NFL average, if not their own
personal average.
So we wanted to take a look at running backs and wide receivers and see maybe these are good trade for targets or players you can have a little bit more confidence in. So running backs, the league average for touchdowns is every 29.4 opportunities. That is how often the average NFL running back scores a touchdown. And we took a look at some guys who minimum, 10 carries a game, 10 opportunities a game, that are over 50 opportunities a game right now without scoring a touchdown. Some of these guys are way higher, and I'm going to start at the top. 132 opportunities per touchdown for Jonathan Taylor, who only has one touchdown on the season. We've talked about the disappointment, the injury, the fact that he hasn't been on the field. And we've talked about, well, he was disappointing when he was on the field. You want to know why? Because he just wasn't scoring touchdowns. And the thing is about the NFL average is that's for good offenses, for bad offenses. This isn't like, well, the Colts offense isn't going to be good, so he's not going to score any touchdowns whatsoever. He's going to return and score touchdowns. I think, you know, I've been the pro Jonathan Taylor rest of season guy. Maybe it'll still take a couple weeks, but I do think he returns. A couple other names that are good. We mentioned one of these as a trade for target yesterday, James Conner. He led the NFL with 15 rushing touchdowns last year. He has 85 opportunities per touchdown so far this year. That is a crazy outlier, not only for all running backs, but specifically for a player like James Conner, who is good at scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Two other names. Devin Singletary. This one's a little bit more scary because you have Nyheim Hines there. You have Josh Allen, who could be the touchdown vulture. But you want to remember that last year when he was awesome down the stretch, why was it? He was scoring touchdowns. Like it's not outlandish to think that the Bills running back can't score touchdowns. He is right now 114 opportunities per total touchdowns. And
I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Paul Himbo on Twitter posted every Bills offensive touchdown this year.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. Josh Allen was responsible for 23 of the 25 via pass or rush. There was one James Cook rushing touchdown and one McKenzie rushing touchdown. Otherwise, Josh Allen, every other touchdown was his fault.
And I think there's a good chance
he is excellent. Yeah,
that he might not play this week. He will be responsible for zero touchdowns when he does not play. That is what my math is showing me.
Good work.
Thank you. David Montgomery, the last one. He only has two carries inside the five this year, but David Montgomery, great matchups coming up.
Yeah.
61 opportunities per touchdown right now. So positive regression is coming for those players. At wide receiver, wide receivers have averaged basically a touchdown every 186 receiving yards or 22 targets. And there's a couple of guys, Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson, they're underperforming. Like, they're awesome. I mean, Tyreek Hill is literally on pace to break the single-season receiving record, but he only has three receiving touchdowns. That's not going to be how his season finishes. I mean, there's nothing on the field that says he should, you know, he should have three more touchdowns if he was just playing at the NFL average.
I feel like he's just got too many yards. He's just like, slow down.
Yeah.
Get those averages back.
Yeah, we got to get Jalen Waddle the touchdown. Why don't you take a break here?
Yeah, Waddle has six of them.
So I think even brighter days, it seems impossible, but even brighter days are ahead for Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. But the two wide receivers you might want to target to actually look at bringing them on board, because touchdowns are coming their way, one is Diontae Johnson. He has 76 total targets right now, no touchdown. Now, obviously, he's not being used down the field, and he's got a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, they're not sustaining drives. They're not scoring a lot of points.
So my expectation for him would be that this year he would be under the NFL average. But he's got 76 total targets. It's 22 targets on average per touchdown. He's at 76. Touchdowns will come his way. And the one that I've been talking about probably the most and trying to lift you up, Andy, because I know you traded for him and he's been a little bit disappointing. But Chris Godwin right now is 9.3 targets per game, 65 total targets, and he has not had a touchdown. Now, he is not finishing this season with no touchdowns. Let's say he finishes the season with a poor touchdown rate, because right now he's being used like a Jarvis Landry, right? Real short passes. He gets a four touchdown season. Ho-hum, that stinks. If he finishes the season with four touchdowns, that means they're all the rest of the season. like they're going
7-9-7-5. That's what his touchdown totals were the past 4 years.
Yeah, and if he finishes with four, that means he's got four touchdowns in only the second half of the season. He's going to positively regress towards the NFL average. Those are players that I would personally be targeting for touchdown upside.
The last thing I just want to throw in here is just to understanding a return to positive regression, as we say on here, or just a return to the mean, however you phrase it. It doesn't mean they have backlogged or stored
correct.
A whole bunch of touchdowns. You're like,
they have to get them in these next few weeks, or yeah. they break the law.
Yeah, like Joe Mixon just bottled up his touchdowns and unleashed them in one game. It simply means they should return to the average of how often they score in their career, which means that moving forward, the touchdowns should be much higher than what we've seen.
And that's the essence of averages over multiple years anyways. Like, you don't – it's not like, you know, at this point in time, we look at Alvin Kamara's career and we say he scores this many touchdowns per year, but he also had a 6-touchdown game, you know, on Christmas or whatever it was a couple of years ago. You know, Godwin's had multi-touchdown games before. Sometimes they come in bunches. Sometimes they come every week. It's just an average of, you know, these players are kind of bucking their normal trend. It's an anomaly. So I think the biggest lesson for me on Godwin was, like, don't overreact to how you feel about this player simply on the basis of how the touchdowns are making you feel. Yesterday, I literally almost overreacted on Godwin. I sent out 3 trade offers, and I was going to overpay to go pick up a Hopkins in a dynasty league instead of a Godwin for a playoff run, and to go pick up and then I literally just clicked withdraw on all 3 offers after I got done with it, going, you know, these players aren't different. They're the same, but Godwin's just not scoring touchdowns, so I feel horrible.
Yeah, what it is it's about current today value.
Yes.
The value of these players that we mentioned, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, they are undervalued.
Yes.
Because they have not had the least predictable statistic happening to go their way. We talk about it in the offseason a lot. Touchdowns aren't a sticky stat. You have players like Dalvin Cook who goes from 20 touchdowns one year to 6 touchdowns the next year.
Not a worse player the next year.
Exactly right. There's a lot that has to go right to get the touchdowns. So target the players who are underperforming in that metric because their value's low right now, and it shouldn't be.
All right, that was Never Not Working. You can get up to 100% dandruff protection that is Never Not Working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo and see the difference.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
We'll jump into the news here, try to get through it quickly because we have a lot to talk about with the forecast, the starts of the week. Darren Waller, limited, has not played in week 5. Since week 5. Waller has basically come out and said what we know and have seen evidence in, like, Keenan Allen's situation. You have to be 100 with the hamstring before you go out and try the hamstring out. Otherwise, you go back to square one. And he kind of said that, and that it's not smart to play with a risk to your hamstring. So his situation, he seems to be limited in practice, getting out there, getting reps every week, and then not playing. You can't count on him. You need to make other arrangements. And then when you get him back, maybe have some confidence that he is back and healthy.
That's all it's saying to me is getting in a bunch of limited practices but not playing. It can be very frustrating for fantasy football. But if he's at least getting the limited ones in, when he goes, I would put him back in and feel confident that you're not as likely to get the re-aggravation. You should get Darren Waller back.
Kyler Murray is dealing with a hamstring injury on the other side of the football in that game, Matthew Stafford in the concussion protocol. So there's some questions around these two players.
Pick up the Arizona defense.
Yeah, right now I feel as though, I think Kyler will be out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that Stafford's much more of a question with the way concussion protocols have worked. The fact he was a later addition that we didn't know about.
Yeah, they added him to the concussion protocol on Tuesday. We didn't find out about it until Wednesday. But when you're added that time period, I think it's unlikely that Matthew Stafford is going to play. Tyler Higbee was my start of the week this morning, but based on this news, I still think you can play him with Wolford, but certainly not a must start player if Matthew Stafford is not playing.
That line is down to 41, so Vegas generally, they make their bets just like they're doing in the Buffalo game, because Josh Allen officially did not practice. Matthew Betts, our injury expert, would be surprised if he played. And we'll talk about that matchup later today, so we don't need to get into it all now, but a tear is streaming down my face.
Sure.
Cardinals talked about those situations. Dameon Pierce added to the injury report with a chest and shoulder injury.
These two pieces of news are really ironic. The Dameon Pierce added to the injury report. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor returned to a limited practice Wednesday. Yesterday we were talking about the safety of Dameon Pierce and the risk of the Jonathan Taylor injuries.
Is this our fault?
I think this is your fault.
Okay.
I just want to be clear.
I didn't do anything.
Are you the Fantasy Reaper, Mike?
No.
I'm not the Fantasy Reaper.
There is no safety in football. That's what we should have led with. I see Brooks, you're nodding over there. Everybody's hurt, right?
Yeah. Everybody's hurt all the time.
It's a rough sport.
Keenan Allen, day to day. Oh.
That did not participate in practice Wednesday.
Zeke took some snaps and team drills, wasn't ready to say he'd be good to go, says he needs more reps. I think there's a shot he sits.
Yeah, his quote seemed...
Oh, that'd be soft.
His quote seemed pretty soft.
Not if he hears this, he's playing.
he plans...
Not my words, those are Zeke words.
...to play deep into the playoffs, so he's focused on the long game.
Well, he has the luxury. I mean, the team has the luxury of having him focused on the long game.
The thought process was you're going to take the week off so that you get the bye week, two total weeks, and Zeke will be back ready to go. Now it seems that's up for debate.
And that's a Green Bay game. And then Treylon Burks returned to practice from injured reserve. I still think it's going to be tough for him to contribute to your fantasy team just with the way the offense was, but maybe
especially
not.
Especially if it's Malik Willis.
Right, which we don't know yet. That was today's News and Notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Fantasy Forecast.
All righty, let's do it. Seattle, 6-3, taking on the 4-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Buongiorno.
In Germany. Thank you. In Munich, Germany. Take a moment to let that sink in. 6-3 Seattle, 4-5 Tampa. I don't know what the money line would have been, or the betting line on those two records at this point in the season.
Oh, you would have.
But you'd been a rich man.
Plus like 50,000.
The DraftKings Sportsbook line, though, has Tampa Bay -3 in this game. The over-under is 44.5. It is in Munich, Germany. Technically, Tampa's the home team. Whatever. Seattle is they're a machine. And if you wanted to know whether they were a machine, swapping out a potential Hall of Fame quarterback for Geno Smith and doing the same things shows you how much of a machine they are. Kenneth Walker wears defenses down. The Seattle draft class. Look, I don't want to give Seattle any credit for anything.
No, of course
I'm a Cardinal
not.
Fan.
Yeah, look at your hat.
I want them to be at the basement. Yeah, that would be my goal. 12th man, I have no respect for you.
Thank you. Well said.
However, 6-3 is so impressive.
Yes.
The draft class, amazing.
Just home runs.
Home runs. The most starts of any draft class in football. Both sides of the ball, making a huge difference, and they deserve credit. They do. They've been incredible.
And they get the Broncos picks.
I mean,
oh my gosh!
If you want to fix your franchise in one trade, I mean, shipping off the salary of Russell Wilson, getting the draft picks, and doing what they did with them. Bravo! So on that side of the ball, though, in this game against Tampa. Tampa's ninth against the running back position, but that doesn't cause you to sit Kenneth Walker because you can't. Kenneth Walker's too good. What about DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett? Are they both in your lineup?
Yeah, they're both in. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, they've been really, really solid on the season. Geno Smith throwing two touchdowns the majority of his games, and they're going their way. So I think both those players have to be in lineups.
All right. Well, is Geno Smith somebody that is in your streaming consideration this week? They are not favored. 20-point implied point total. He's been pretty good. QB8 on the year.
I think he's a fine play. Man, that's the question. Is Geno Smith, with the level of play that we've seen from him, you know, we had you had three kind of down games: Arizona when they were at home, then the Chargers, and then the Giants. But then a bounce back for him this past week against Arizona. Is Geno for you guys still a streaming guy, or is he like, if you're in a 14 teamer, you're just playing him?
Well, 14 teamers.
Okay,
sure.
In a 12
in a normal league, I still view Geno as a streamer. You know, Dax and you know, Herbert is a real question right now without any weapons to throw the ball to. So if you're talking Herbert in a bad matchup without those weapons, maybe I would take Geno ahead of him.
Okay,
but I'm not just saying Geno is an automatic start. He has not been an every week great play for fantasy. We just know that he actually does have upside. He can be good. He was very good this last week. In this matchup, where I think he should need to throw the ball more, not necessarily because the Buccaneers are going to score a ton of points, but because they've got a very good run D. And, you know, this isn't one where you'd project just a smash 200 yards and two touchdowns for Kenneth Walker. They're going to need to throw the ball with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett to win this game.
I do believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this ballgame. I didn't even know what the line was. I'm surprised it's Tampa -3, but...
Well, they're the home team.
In Munich, Germany, yes.
Get that bump.
Yeah, right. But Tom Brady, you know, it's been a rough ride of late. They rallied. I think that meant a lot to this offense, figuring things out at the end of that game. But Brady, passing touchdowns over the last 5 weeks. 1-1-0-1-1.
Oof.
You want to talk about the Chris Godwin issue? That's part of it, right? And his one touchdown went to Kate Otten. So, you know, Mike Evans, I don't think he scored a touchdown since week 5. Chris Godwin, he hasn't scored a touchdown all year. And then, you know, Kate Otten, he's running routes and he's participating in this offense. Are all three of those players in your lineup?
Well, the wide receivers, of course. Kate Otten was lined up to be my start of the week, the second most routes run among tight ends over the last month. Seattle dead last against the tight end position. But Cameron Brate returned to full practice yesterday. So I don't know that you can play Kate Otten with full confidence. If Cameron Brate still misses, which is possible with the injury that he had, he could be practicing in full and still not play. Then Kate Otten would be a great streamer. If Brate is active, I would be nervous to do it.
Leonard Fournette, we talked about trade candidates yesterday at length. We talked about Fournette at length.
Still playing him.
Okay. And then would you take any chances with Rashad White in this game? Seattle's defense 22nd against the running back position. A lot of rumors coming out of the bye that he may get more work, kind of like the Jaylen Warren situation.
I'm not looking for the glory shot in getting his first game of relevance right. I think that you are waiting for a Leonard Fournette injury with Rashad White, and you're just
keep him on your bench.
Yeah, you're just seeing him get more and more involved, more comfortable and competent in the offense. For if that should happen, more confidence to just throw him in as a top weekly play.
All right, quick break and back with the Vikings Bills. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. and you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. All right, we are back with the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills. You know, sometimes things get typed in the chat. I mean, I can't contain the laughter. Nothing Jason said was humorous. So, Jason, that was not about you.
I was confused.
I apologize for breaking. That was entirely...
Be professional over there, man.
That was due to reading some secret stuff inside of the company Slack. The Minnesota Vikings are 7-1. They take on the Buffalo Bills at 6-2. One has to be a little disappointed that we may not have Josh Allen in this game because, you know, it's a matchup of heavyweights right now. The DraftKings Sportsbook line still has Buffalo -3.5. The over-under is 43.5.
I can't believe that.
That's an updated line, Kyle.
Yeah, that's updated.
It opened at 49.5 and Buffalo -6.5.
So hedging right now. The sportsbooks considering the fact that Josh Allen might not be out there. Case Keenum is the backup.
Oh, man. We get Keenum and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and you get Keenum. Ooh, yeah, right. His old team. The game is in Buffalo. Keenum is a competent quarterback. So when you look at this game, let's say you said today Case Keenum is playing no matter what. I'd still be taking Buffalo. Like, I still think Buffalo wins the ball game. Their defense is extraordinary. They're at home. We saw the Minnesota Vikings offense have trouble last week against Washington. And so it's a harsh environment, tough matchup. Think you can still have confidence in Stephon Diggs, of course, regardless of the quarterback situation. But once you move beyond your main target in the wide receiver room, that's where I think not having Josh Allen is going to really put questions into your mind about, you know, Gabe Davis. How risky? He's already a risky start at times with Josh Allen. But you have... The ceiling is so high with Josh Allen on one of his good games that you play him. In this matchup, it seems a lot riskier with Case Keenum if he's the quarterback.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, if you're talking about a Donovan Peoples-Jones level start, sure, I might be willing to, but I'm not. You know, I love Gabe Davis. I love having him in my lineup when I've got Josh Allen there because at any time you can have an 80-yard touchdown. If Josh Allen does not play, I am looking to absolutely bench Gabe Davis if I can.
Playing Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cortland Sutton?
I would.
Mike Wood is the best answer to a question. Zay Jones against Kansas City?
I would play Zay. I think he is the best barometer here because no one's ever excited.
He's always on the waiver wire.
To play Zay Jones.
Zay Jones lives on the waiver wire.
But I would play Zay Jones over Gabe Davis if Josh Allen does not play.
That'd be a funny rule in a league. Like, certain players are tagged as you can only sign them, play them, and drop them.
Yes.
Like, you Sunday can't, morning pickups only.
Only. And you cannot have them on your roster once Wednesday comes around.
Right.
That is Zay Jones, though. I mean, everybody grabbed him. He is the spot start. If you have a nickname for Zay Jones, it's spot start.
Yeah. The old spot start.
Yeah. Devin Singletary, 74% of snaps last week. Not that we expected Nyheim Hines to get a ton of opportunity yet on the new team. He was traded midweek. I don't expect Singletary's snap count to stay at 74%.
Not over the season, though.
With Nyheim Hines, an intentional addition by this roster. But I think Singletary is still okay to play in this game, especially if they need to depend on the run game more. Dawson Knox, not messing around.
Not without Josh Allen.
Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
TJ Hawkinson. Very impressive in week one with Minnesota. 9 for 70. If you saw him in the press conference after the trade, goes from worst to first. Really excited to be playing in important games. I mean, this guy is jazzed.
He's never done it.
No, it's impressive.
Nine targets in your first week says that even though the matchup isn't good, you have to keep playing him.
David Njoku coming back from injury or Hawkinson, you'd go Hawkinson.
I'd go Hawkinson.
Okay. Kyle Pitts or TJ Hawkinson?
Hawkinson.
Okay. Tony Gonzalez or TJ Hawkinson?
Hawkinson.
All right.
I thought you were going to say Tony Gonzalez or Kyle Pitts.
Kirk Cousins.
I'd have to think about it.
Kirk Cousins is a bench this week.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
If you can.
Jared Goff this week against Chicago or Kirk Cousins? I would go Goff.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I would as well.
What about Geno Smith against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I played Geno Smith.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions. Let's go ahead and transition to Hawkinson's former team. 2-6 Detroit Lions coming off that sweet, sweet victory over the Packers.
Oh, so sweet.
If Al was in the building today, this would be my insert troll here moment mm-hmm. for the Packers. Chicago Bears are 3-6. They're doing it perfectly. They are turning it around on offense while still losing getting the most draft capital you can.
Good work, Chicago.
I mean.
Tremendous.
I'm a huge fan right now. I'm a big fan of the Bears.
Yeah, because they're everything you want. And,
oh, Jay Grizz, happy about that.
Yeah, that's the first appearance by Jay Grizz in a little while. Hibernating. No, the Bears, they're putting up points. I mean, they're favored in this game. DraftKings has the line at Chicago -3. The over-under is 48.5. Delightful. See, the Bears have gone from a fantasy nightmare where you're constantly talking about how disappointed you are in all of their weapons, right? Darnell Mooney, mm-hmm. Justin Fields. And now you're excited to see what happens, right? It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It's a new life.
I mean, this is great. Justin Fields is a must start.
Yes.
Darnell Mooney is a very worthy start against Detroit.
Yes.
David Montgomery is a good start this week against Detroit. Khalil Herbert, go ahead and flex him if you feel like
it. Yeah. Why not play with a little fire?
But I will say Montgomery, 70% of snaps, 2 straight weeks. So, you know, you're playing lower odds around the goal line that you're going to see Herbert on the field. Cole Kmet, why not? Why not have a good – take him for a stroll.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about him later.
We have three starts of the week in this game.
Whoa, don't give that away.
In this game, Mike.
That is not true.
You miscounted.
It's four, by the way.
What are we doing?
What we're doing is we are chasing
– Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh, my.
We are chasing two inept defenses with two good enough offenses. You expect both teams to be able to score. Now, this is a divisional game. So sometimes those fall into the traps. The teams know each other well, and they play up to the, you know, to the division standards. That being said, I don't think either team's defense just has the talent to really stop either of these offenses. So I think that's why you see so many starts of the week from this matchup, because this could turn into a barn burner based on what we've been seeing over the last month.
What are you guys doing with DeAndre Swift, who got a little bit of, I mean, it was a little bit positive there from Guns Mahoney.
Wait, what was it? Little bit some positive or something?
Little bit some positivity from Guns Mahoney, a.k.a. Dan Campbell. But, I mean, absolute minimal usage. Got brought down on the one on a reception, which was devastation for yours truly and a lot of you out there.
I'll tell you, the
matchup is juicy.
This is like taking.
Tell me what to do.
This is like taking a beautiful glass statue and carefully placing it down in the middle of a daycare, and you hope it lasts through the end of the day. It could, and it's beautiful. Yeah. But
well, are you putting the vase into the daycare if you had him on your roster?
this is asking for a friend.
Yeah, I'm asking for a good friend. I know him well.
Jamal Williams has been getting so many opportunities.
Jamal Williams is in all of my lineups this
week. I think the best way to think about it is not DeAndre Swift working into a running back timeshare. I think the best way to think of it is they have Amon-Ra St. Brown and no one else as a weapon. You don't have T.J. Hockenson anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And can DeAndre Swift be the slot receiver you need this week?
Yes.
I mean, that's how I'm thinking about this situation. I think that in this matchup, with the hopes of a shootout, right? Like, I'm willing to take the over in this game. With that hope, I would play DeAndre Swift as a flex. I would.
I agree.
What about a running back, too?
Well, it depends on your options, Mike.
Yeah, tell us your options.
Yeah, what are your options
over there? Let's help a guy out.
Okay.
I mean, your friend.
This is a very specific situation.
Right, for your friend. For your friend.
So it's a lot of options, so have a seat, everybody. So for your running back, too, you could play Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You could play DeAndre Swift. You could play Ezekiel Elliott if he's active. You could play Antonio Gibson against the Philadelphia Eagles.
You still have A.J.
Your
Dillon?
Your friend has a really bad situation to decide from.
No, my friend no longer has A.J. Dillon.
Because that might have worked out this week.
I'm asking for Kyle, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, this is for Kyle. Let's play
Hunt, Zeke, Swift, and Gibson. Was that the last name?
That is correct.
The Gibson one is the hard one. I think that's your actual dilemma.
I agree. That one,
because the matchup is tough against Philly.
But he could.
But he could have a lot of passing game work, more than Swift.
Yes.
I think. Are you favored? I mean, is your friend favored?
Yeah, Kyle's favored to win.
So then you're looking at safety, and I think Swift is risky on the safety trend.
All right,
so
good
I think,
news. I think, I'll tell Kyle that.
So Kareem Hunt.
I mean, maybe one of those guys is definitely going to be your best play.
Yeah.
Who's your pick there?
You're asking me? I thought you were.
You're
asking
the man I'm looking at.
I will go with Swift or Hunt. And I think I will go with DeAndre Swift.
Okay.
They wanted to get him more.
Don't screw
work.
This up.
The matchup is good. The talent is there.
Safest is probably Hunt, huh?
It's
one of the three.
It seems like Hunt is safer.
Okay.
So, we can't keep talking about this.
But, I mean, now you see why my friend's beard is green.
Yes. Okay. No doubt. That's tough. That's really tough. Jamal Williams, though,
yes,
not as tough.
Until you
the
actually...
The offensive line is so good.
Until you actually see DeAndre Swift cutting fully into the workload, Jamal Williams should be played almost every single week.
Amon-Ra has been actually really disappointing.
He has. But I'm still playing. The matchup is not great. Bears 8th against fantasy wide receivers when you adjust. But
I don't want
I'm
to see
him
slip into this PPR only type of player this year. That would make me really sad.
Sure.
Because he's been so much more impressive than that. Denver at 3-5 take on the Tennessee Titans, who are 5-3. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Tennessee minus 2.5. The over-under is 37. The line started at 40. The confidence level of Ryan Tannehill making it back onto the field, it's not tremendous, I think.
The over-under is at 37? Is that
I mean,
true?
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
Maybe I'm completely misremembering, but I can't remember that.
That's the loss of the year that I can remember.
I have an update. It's now at 36.5.
36.5? I can't remember a line that low. Like, my memory is not that very good.
Not that very good? Was that on accident?
No.
No. Great joke.
Thank you.
Have you seen the Denver Broncos offense? Might be too high.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Tennessee defense has been better of late. You know, you had Patrick Mahomes putting the team on his back last week. But yeah, I mean, look at the Broncos right now.
You can't make me.
Courtland Sutton has not been producing. The running back room is Gordon, Murray, Edmonds. Can you play any of them with confidence this week against the 6th-ranked run defense? And I think the best run defense since maybe week 2? No.
Agreed.
Russell Wilson?
This game is pretty easy to me.
Yeah, break it down, Mike.
So on the Denver Broncos side, I mean, if you adamantium underpants and you want to play Russell Wilson, okay, it makes sense. Coming off of the bye week, perhaps they figure something out. The Titans, 26th against quarterbacks when you adjust for the schedule. I probably wouldn't do it. I'd be going with, you know, we mentioned some streams earlier, or like Jimmy Garoppolo is in a fine place. I don't really want to play the running backs if I can get away with it, because now Chase Edmonds is an addition. They've said we view him as a third down back. They've had the bye week to get him involved, so him going right into third downs, it could certainly happen. But the Titans are not like they give up points to fantasy wide receivers, so I do think that Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton can be played. You're not expecting top 15 numbers from either of these guys, but I do think they are both flex worthy or wide receiver 3 plays this week.
I am not putting Courtland Sutton back into my own lineup until I see a reason to on the field. You know, you're not talking about a small sample size of futility right now. You're talking about the last 4 games, he's on pace for like 200 yards on the year.
And 30 receptions.
And that's a large sample. That's 4 games.
Last 3 games have been terrible. Not arguing against that. But 4 weeks ago, he had 5 for 74 against the Colts. If he gives you 5 for 74...
Yeah, but what if he gives you the other 3 weeks?
Yeah, I know. Terrible. The Chargers game was... That was the total collapse of the entirety of the Broncos offense. He got 9 targets the following week. It was the Jets, and they and Sauce and company shut him down. The Jacksonville game was far more, to me, troublesome and worrying. Jerry Jeudy had a fine game. Meanwhile, it was only 4 targets for Cortland Sutton. But
can I share my sure. main concern is that you've seen in those games that Jerry Jeudy target share has gone up, and it seems like it's a choice. And then you add Greg Dulcich to the equation, and he seems to be somebody that this quarterback can trust. So I do think that you could be right. Cortland Sutton could have a bounce back game. It could also end up really risky. And I don't know, you know, you talked about Donovan Peoples-Jones and the matchup this week, how he's being used. We talk about Darnell Mooney. You know, are those options that you would start over Sutton, or are you really kind of counting on this game to be the get right game for him?
I mean, personally, I would start Mooney over Sutton, over Jerry Jeudy. I don't mind that. I have to see Russell Wilson do something. And I know that, you know, look, last week you had Juju have an okay game. Mecole Hardman got a touchdown, but the Chiefs really were limited for what the Chiefs do regularly by the Titans. The Titans are at home. This defense seems very, very good. So, really, Greg Dulcich, because he's a tight end, and that is really another place where Tennessee has struggled with. That's, you know, you can always justify starting a tight end in a bad matchup just because you don't have a lot of other options.
Dulcich has been one of the biggest start-sit questions. You know, it's Dulcich or Freiermuth, Dulcich or Njoku, Dulcich or Higbee, Dulcich or Pitts, mm-hmm. Dulcich or Everett.
And we're going to have answers to that real, real soon.
Oh, man.
Derrick Henry, play him. Don't play anybody else.
Yep, agreed.
That was easy. Jacksonville's 3-6. They take on the 6-2 Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites, according to DraftKings. The over-under is 50.5. It gives them 30 points in this game. Patrick Mahomes, when he is a favorite of this magnitude, is 16-2. And you play him.
Mm-hmm.
You can play Juju this week. He has been very consistent. And then with the question marks Agreed. Around Hardman's injury, he didn't practice on Wednesday. Could be fine. I mean, he had abdominal soreness, which we also had from a lot of Oreos yesterday. If you listen to the Spotify live show, you know that the first 10 minutes was committed to our own struggles with abdominal
soreness. I don't know that I'd call them struggles. I mean, it was or a happy struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had self-control yesterday, Mike.
That's right.
That's why your abdominal muscle was all right.
But
I find that to be a difficult word to pronounce.
Abdominable.
Abdominable.
Thank you for helping me. Kadarius Toney, do we see more of the Toney experiment this week?
I think it makes sense that you would see more Toney as every single week goes on. If Mecole Hardman does not play, then I think that's where you could – actually ask yourself, would I be willing to take a shot on starting Kadarius Toney? As of now, you can't start Kadarius Toney until you see him involved in the offense in a really impactful way. But, you know, if an injury ahead of him forced his entry onto the field, we know that, you know, when it comes to targets per route run, when he's on the field, he earns them targets.
Feels like there may be more clarity kind of coming to the wide receiver room in Kansas City to me. Like, Juju feels like he is kind of secure. MVS is getting phased out.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Sky Moore has not been impactful in any way.
He didn't get phased in.
No. And so, and then Travis Kelce, you should probably play him.
Yep.
Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne.
Yeah, Etienne, of course. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, if when you're talking a streaming quarterback, teams – just they have to throw so much against the Kansas City Chiefs because the Chiefs put up so many points that it turns into fantasy output. So like 28th against quarterbacks, that's the Chiefs, 24th against running backs, 25th against wide receivers, 29th against tight ends, because there's just so many plays and so many passing opportunities for the other team that these guys are in play. It's not that I love playing, you're like, oh, I'm going to target the Chiefs defense. I'm targeting Chiefs games.
You also hope that with the pass rush, Travis Etienne will get involved in the passing game. The Chiefs allow the most receptions per game to the running back, and Etienne is important to this offense.
Yep.
And awesome.
Yeah, Christian Kirk,
Yeah, he's in your lineup.
Zay Jones, the spot start.
Spot starter.
You can get him in there. Zay Jones or Cortland Sutton, Jason.
Zay Jones.
Evan Engram, you can always risk your life.
Yeah, that's
one of our gifts.
He got hurt the last week. He hurt his back. He was limited in practice on Wednesday, so you have to pay attention. And like the craziness of the world, the postman may be back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's what you get.
Like, I don't even know if that drop still exists. But Dan Arnold would be the play if Evan Engram is there. It is. If Schmangram cannot play, then Dan Arnold is
maybe a fun DFS.
He might be
start
a fun DFS play. Yeah.
Yeah, or you could end up with what we got in this next matchup with the Cleveland Browns at 3-5 taking on the 6-3 Dolphins, and Harrison Bryant could be the whoopsie let you down after Njoku went out. That's the hard part, right? I mean, you have superior athletes, and then you have their backups, and you hope that maybe their backups get involved. We should have the return of David Njoku in this game.
That's what we're hearing.
Miami is 4-point favorites. The over-under on DraftKings is 49. This could be a really fun game.
Yeah, this is another game that I think I'm targeting. The Dolphins' defense has been very injured over the last month and poor. The Cleveland Browns' defense was really, really bad, and I've got like a little twinkling of now that Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett are both back and active, maybe their defense steps it up a little bit. We saw them crush Joe Burrow last time we saw the Browns. But over the last, you know, 5 or 6 games, these are teams that you've wanted to target for big scoring bonanzas.
So Nick Chubb, he's been dynamic. He's been great. Kareem Hunt, this matchup looks juicy. Miami's defense has not been able to stop anybody. It's one of the reasons why their offense is so great is they are that perfect match of explosiveness on the offensive side, quick drives at times, and then they just give up points and then they get to go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like when you watch the Dolphins, they score so quick that you rarely see them with the ball. Like, I feel like I'm always watching the other team have the ball, but it's not because the Dolphins aren't doing good, is they're doing too good.
That could be frustrating as a defense. You're like, man, I'm tired.
I'm tired. Like, take your time. Stop it, Tyreek.
Get a 10 play drive going on here so I can get some rest.
The Cleveland defense is not good against the run. And so you've got Jeff Wilson arrival last week, Raheem Mostert, both of them scored a touchdown. Wilson's was through the air. Are they both startable assets this week?
They're both startable, and they're going to be in very, very similar situations where I'm not trying to put them in my lineup, but as a flex option.
Tony Pollard or Raheem Mostert?
I would go Tony Pollard in that situation.
Regardless,
that's assuming
Zeke
is back. If Zeke's out, obviously it's Tony Pollard.
Right.
No, but I would play Jeff Wilson ahead of Mostert, and the reason why is just because I know it's a very small sample size of the one game, but I'm including the history with this offensive coach back in the San Francisco days where Jeff Wilson was the pass-catching guy to Raheem Mostert's non-pass-catching work, and we kind of saw that a little bit more in this one game. So I think both players are going to be – they just look awesome. They're on a great offense. They could have big blow-up performances. That's why you can put them in your lineup. But if they don't get the touchdown, if it goes to Tyreek or Waddle or, you know, somewhere else or Gesicki, then I think you'll be disappointed more with Mostert because he might not have the receptions to kind of pad the stats. But they'll be in a 50-50 split.
From weeks 4 through 8, so Raheem Mostert saw no fewer than 15 opportunities in a game. Like, he was getting real usage, a couple games over 20 in that time span. First game with Jeff Wilson, 11. Like, that's very concerning. And that was the first.
This is the third lowest on the season.
This was the first time that Raheem Mostert had been under 50% of the snaps since week 1.
It was they couldn't play Chase Edmonds.
Right.
They couldn't play him, but they wanted to. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, play them. Jason, thoughts on Jalen Waddle in like a dynasty format?
I think he is so much better than CeeDee Lamb. More like CeeDee Trash.
You had Lame sitting right there.
Yeah.
It was the bad joke was the joke.
Gotcha.
So that's where I went with.
Okay.
Boston!
I didn't know you had that on your board, Mike. I love that.
So yesterday, Mike and I reacted pretty strongly to your potential trading for Jaylen Waddle, and then you closed the show out, and within an hour, you had the deal done.
That is true. I appreciate you fellas making me think twice on that. It wasn't the deal that you brought up, but just in a vacuum, basically, Waddle versus CD Lamb in a dynasty, I do think that the future arrow continues to go up on Waddle, and the future arrow could go down on CD Lamb as they bring in other wide receivers there.
Amari Cooper. Yes, please.
Yeah.
However, Kyle, you pointed out his splits are very interesting, right?
He's the weirdest player to project week to week.
Also for his whole career. But what's the situation this year with on the road Amari Cooper?
On the road, he's averaging 2 for 33.
He just likes it in Cleveland, huh?
Some people say that. It's nice.
Some people like to be home.
That's wild. But you got to play him in this game. The Dolphins' defense has struggled, and they're going to need to keep up with the passing game. This is not one of those games that Nick Chubb can bear all of the responsibility for points, although he will bear a lot of it. And he's playing against me, so I expect big things.
And Peoples Jones, since week four, he is averaging almost 5 receptions and 70 yards.
I feel burnt after week one because he was 6 for 60 in week one.
And then he came out
and was like disappearing act for targets.
Full goose the next week.
And there was the weeks two and
three.
You're
not wrong. I'm just telling you I feel a little bit of that first week.
Yeah, I totally get it. Weeks two and three, he absolutely vanished after week one. But, I mean, you're talking 5 straight weeks that he's been 70-plus in 4 of 5. And 50 yards the week that he didn't hit 70. He's playable.
All of the rankings, the start sit tool, it's on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. It's time to get into our starts of the week.
Starts of the week.
Jason, why don't you kick this off at the quarterback position? I think you had this guy last week.
I'm going to stay with Tua because he is awesome. He's playing against Cleveland. We just covered this game, the Dolphins passing attack. They are absolutely rolling. And they rank second in passing yards per game, number one in explosive pass rate. He's completing 64% of his passes of 20-plus yards. That's the highest mark over the last decade. Thank you, Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
And the Browns are allowing the third highest expected points per play, so you're just going to stay in the flames with Tua.
And I'll jump in here. Justin Fields forever! Yes! This is so great!
He was also your start of the week last week.
I am so excited that we are at the point where it feels like Justin Fields is an every week starter. It was the Justin Fields truthers. Our meetings, they were rough there.
Not well attended.
They were rough there for a while, but Detroit is the third best matchup for quarterbacks. Over the last month, Justin Fields has been QB 8, 5, 5, and 1. He's running so much, the Bears have figured something out here, and Justin Fields is unlocking that cheat code point scoring for fantasy.
All right, I want to borrow those steel underpants that you wear so often.
Get in here, brother.
And I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Oh, man.
Against the Seattle Seahawks. And I understand. I brought it up. One touchdown. I think Brady's due for some positive touchdown regression.
He just needs a change of environment.
And I think the ending of the last ball game, I know it seems like a small thing to focus on, but if you saw, it was like a load off. He's gone through a lot this year. I think, this 2.5% touchdown rate, you're going to see some bounce back. Seattle's a good enough offense to make this game kind of exciting. I think it's time Godwin get. You know what?
Oh, no.
Oh. Hey,
it's a Godwin touchdown guarantee.
Oh, okay. Wow.
All right.
Okay, I guess.
See, these things have to come about organically. Yep. They can't come about. You can't manufacture them. Jason, you're taking out your betting apps?
Going to DraftKings?
Well, I'll be there in a minute. We'll see.
I think we'll get 2-plus touchdowns from Brady. They can't run the football.
All right.
And so I think it's Brady time. Plant and no. He's had some plant food this week.
All right.
Yeah. All right. At running back, I'm going for a flex option start of the week. Kareem Hunt on the other side of Tua. I think this game is going to be a back and forth game, and I want to give the Foot Clan confidence to play him. Hunt's a solid flex play. He's still seeing nearly 50% of the snaps. This game projects to be one of the best. And since week three, Miami ranks 27th at schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to the running backs. And there's been some split backfields that have had success here. Breece Hall and Michael Carter both had great games, 40-plus fantasy points. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, almost 30 fantasy points against Miami. He is someone that is very questionable every week. If you've got Kareem Hunt, you are saying, man, I could start him. Should I? This is the week where I like the matchup.
What would you do with like him and like if it was DeAndre Swift or something?
Well, that was what made it tough, knowing that Kareem Hunt was my start of the week. But the comments from Dan Campbell of getting Swift more involved, I guess maybe I'm falling victim to that. But it is really, really tough between
there,
those two.
We didn't mention it, but their hand might be forced a little bit. You had Craig Reynolds.
Yeah.
Craig Reynolds, who was playing in front of DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's a good player, but he went onto the IR, and this past week, so I mean, that Justin Jackson was running in front of DeAndre Swift. That could maybe force some of those opportunities. But in the meantime, my start of the week is Jay Willie. It's Jamal Williams. My note saying, will DeAndre Swift ever be good again? I do not know. But in the meantime, Jay Willie is getting those opportunities. 24 last week. The Bears are the fourth best matchup for running backs. The Lions, high T. It will be established. Fourth in rush rate in the first half of games. Eighth in the second half. And that is while trailing. So they don't care. They just want to run the ball over and over. And they do have a very large advantage here in their offensive line versus the Bears' defensive line.
All right, Miles Sanders is my start of the week at the running back position. Did very well in prime time last week. We're going to keep it rolling.
I am so frustrated here with Miles Sanders of over the course of the offseason, the summer, like both you and I were like, we were rising.
He was in our breakout candidates like in the UDK early in the offseason.
Like Miles Sanders and my early.
And we got scared.
The early breakout show up at, I think in Detroit, it was Miles Sanders. I was getting really hot and bothered by him. And then he comes out and he's like, oh, do not draft me for fantasy football.
Well, here's the thing.
You lied to me, Miles.
The Eagles are heavy favorites, double-digit favorites this year. They've averaged 27 points a game. He's the RB12 on the year. Not a joke. Yesterday, Brooks was walking through the office, and he shows me a signed Miles Sanders jersey. We had purchased that for a giveaway, and we had retired it on a shelf.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, and we forgot we buried it. We're like, we're never giving this away. No one wants this. And suddenly this resurgence, I think it continues against Washington.
Yep, at wide receiver. Yeah. I'm going with Darnell Mooney against the Detroit Lions.
Let's go.
Let's get in this game. Lost in the shuffle of Justin Fields mania is the fact that Mooney has been very good over the last month. 7.8 targets per game, nearly 60 receiving yards. Last week he was 7 for 43 and 1 against Miami, and he's got a better matchup this week. The Lions are allowing the highest percentage of 15-plus yard pass plays, and they are 30th against fantasy wide receivers. Mooney is a very good player. I want pieces in this game.
It's time to steal up. I'm going with Courtland Sutton.
Ooh,
my wide receiver start of the week.
Boston.
The Titans, we may be saying that next week. But the Titans are the third best wide receiver matchup, allowing 5 points above expectation. They're allowing nearly 14 yards per reception. That's the fifth highest in the NFL. Again, the Broncos are coming off of the bye week, and I think that they get things figured out. Like, Courtland Sutton, to me, is still a very talented player. He does have these hot and cold streaks, and I expect that we will see some more hotness off of the bye week.
I think we are at the point now. You know, Jason's got his boom-boom kicker. I end up with an almost upset very often. I feel like at this point, Mike needs his steel underpants start of the week.
I try to give at least one a week.
Every week, you do have one pick that we are disgusted by. Jason and I, we take nausea medication every week for one of your picks.
And
can you give me that bottle, by the way?
We spend the week trying to talk you out of it.
Right.
But then a lot of times your steel underpants, they look good on that beach, man. Oh, you're out there just looking good.
Yeah.
It like they can't rust.
No, that's 100% UV protection.
Not for the other people around me, though.
They're getting blasted.
Very shiny chrome.
All right, my wide receiver start of the week is, look, one of my favorite players of all time. I used to say a star is born about him. I've always been a real... Look, I can get behind him for a week. Juju Smith-Schuster against Jacksonville the last 3 weeks. You're in a boom shakalaka territory here. He's on fire. Wide receiver 7, 4, and 15. 8 or more targets in all but 2 of his games this year. They are throwing the ball at the highest rate because they cannot run it. And we said it yesterday. He kind of goes out and he runs like Kelsey-like routes. And whenever the other team tackles Travis Kelce, which is so often. I don't know if you saw this around the goal line last week. There were 2 consecutive tackles of Kelce that they threw flags on. And then the third play, the refs couldn't throw a third flag in a row, but they tackled him again. And when that happens, Juju's just there. He's open. He's so close to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. He can always be seen. And Jacksonville, 31st in schedule adjusted fantasy points against the wide receiver position. So I will, my guy, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd love to see it. Who would you take in a dynasty league, Juju Smith-Schuster or Allen Robinson?
Yeah, I'd take Juju.
All right. At tight end, I am going with Greg D.
Yeah.
Greg Dulcich.
Me.
He's the most popular question on our site this week. Everybody wants to know, can we start Greg D? People are asking, what about Pitts on Thursday or Greg Dulcich? Evan Ingram at Kansas City. Tyler Higbee, who was my start of the week coming into today, but with the Matthew Stafford concussion, or Njoku coming off of injury. I am taking Greg Dulcich over all of those players. He's had 3 games in his career. He's had 3 top 12 fantasy performances. I am not quite as confident in the...
He's handsome.
He is very handsome. Looks strikingly like Weird Al. that's what we learned on Halloween.
You guys saw that Weird Al featured a picture of me.
Yes. Who did not dress up as Weird Al. But he loved your Halloween costume.
And yet you did.
Yeah, you
and
certainly
yet
did.
I did.
Look, Greg D has posted a 19% targets per route run. That is great for a tight end. His 3 weeks are 3 top 12 fantasy finishes. And the Titans are 24th in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to the fantasy tight ends. They are 30th out of all teams over the last 6 weeks. I think that the place Russell Wilson can find success is Greg D against this defense.
My tight end start of the week, as I mentioned, it was supposed to be Cade Otton in that Germany matchup. So maybe you set your alarm clock and wake up and find out if Cade...
Brate doesn't make me that nervous.
If Cameron Brate... If he's...
But it's a fair point.
The problem
it's
is
a fair
just...
Point.
He's just... Like, if every... If all the work is for Cade Otton...
Yeah, no, I get
then
it.
So if Cameron Brate is out, then I'm taking credit for the Cade Otton start of the week.
Right here, right now.
But my backup option here, I had to go. I had to... Look, you get there fast, and then you take it slow. Cole Kmet, a.k.a. Cole Comeau, which he kind of ruined that nickname, but maybe it's back. Maybe it's back. Lions are the third best matchup for the tight end position. Cole Kmet finally had more than 5 targets on the season. It turned into 2 touchdowns. I'm not expecting 2 touchdowns, but if you can get at least a little bit of volume in a matchup that could turn into a shootout, you could definitely do worse. Over the last month, the 6 most routes run at the tight end position. He's on the field a ton. Maybe we figured out Cole Kmet. This is maybe.
Well, look, if they score as often as they're scoring, he's going to have opportunities in the red zone. That's because you can't
stop
everything, right? If you're going to focus on Justin Fields, you're going to get these screen games. I don't mind it. I'm going with the Muth. He's getting Luth against New Orleans.
He's getting so Luth.
That's a great start.
Chase Claypool. Out the door, 17% of the targets, 19% of the receiving yards. It's time to get Luth. George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth are going to do some work. And look, after coming back from his concussion, 9 targets, 7 targets, such a friend to a rookie quarterback. Finds space, sure-handed.
Dominate the middle of the field.
He's going to be good, not just this year, but the rest of the year, because the Muth always gets Luth.
Luth.
Let's move on.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
Faced with a bossman, I called on the Foot Clan, lest I be utterly fooled. From Gondor I raised a horn amazed 30,000 to battle Robby Gould.
I don't even think Kyle could handle that one. And I know you participated in the, you know, editing process.
Now, Jason, that's the edited version?
Jason is a master with words.
Thank you, Kyle.
The Horn of Gondor, and you're fighting Robby Gould?
Not just me.
30,000.
The Foot Clan are
this
with
is,
me.
I'm very, this segment you know, has taken a turn.
It's tough to follow. Robby Gould, though, he's a pretty ornery guy.
Yeah, and we're going to need all 30,000 of you to help me take him down. But he is my boom, boom kicker.
I would put my money on you and 30,000 people.
Yeah, against a kicker.
Against a kicker.
I mean, come on. Kicker shouldn't even be in the league.
And yet you built this segment of research.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm so pro kicker.
The matchups that we didn't cover today, we're going to cover them tomorrow.
Did you let Jason Myers go?
He's with us now.
Oh,
he's fighting alongside. He's
are you
one
trying
of the,
to follow the story?
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah, of course. Well, I wasn't the one holding him hostage. Robby Gould was.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, he's the
villain. Boss man?
Robby Gould was the mysterious villain from
last.
Yeah. Okay.
Now it's more interesting.
Yeah, okay. Now,
the book will be published at the end of the year.
It better be. I need it.
We also have another.
I need
another,
the subtitles for the regular segment.
We also have another podcast that is just a companion podcast.
Oh,
for the
really?
Boom Boom Kicker. It's just like you know where we talk
this
about
is incredible.
Fan, you know, fan theories.
Yeah, we're just getting the cliff notes right now. You got the whole.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, just keep looking for it on your podcast app wherever you get podcasts.
Wheel of Shame tomorrow, and
oh yeah, get ready, everybody.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I understand that you have some prepared for me.
It's
been so long since I've been shamed that I don't even remember what it's like.
If you're a fan of nonsense,
yeah,
tune in.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Am I going to need to wash anything off?
No,
it'll be easy.
All right, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Review the show if you are so inclined, and you can watch it over on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Back with the matchups tomorrow. I will spin the wheel of shame. We'll share our DFS lineups. And we'll catch you up with the news, injury updates, and things of that nature.
Enjoy the game tonight, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.